Okay, Baruch Haba, welcome everybody. Today's shiur and the shiurim throughout the rest of Chodesh Sivan, what's left of it, are sponsored by Ben and Yael England, for our dear friends Zuchariah Kalman HaKohen, Ben Yael Margalit, okay, so we started Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis at the Mishnah. The truth is, the Mishnah lists 10 things that are usher because they relate in some way to Gayim. In general, Hilchos Ma'akol Yakum, which is what we're going to spend the bulk of the summer doing, there are two reasons things can be usher. Things are either usher because of some perceived issue with the actual chefzo, with the item itself that you are getting delivered or that you have in front of you, meaning it may really be not kosher, it may really be something that's treif or whatever. The other potential issue is a general concern about how we intermingle with non-Jews and what we would call chasnus, the issue that we're afraid that if we get too close that we may come to intermarry and we'll have all sorts of issues like that. Within our Mishnah, it seems to be a mix. It seems to be a mix of certain things that are usher clearly because we're afraid of something not kosher being mixed in, and other things that are seem to be not at all about not kosher, but simply about the fact that it's going to be that it's going to lead to too much intermingling between Jew and non-Jew. Now, if you just to give basic structure over here, the Mishnah lists 10 things. The last five are not so nogea lemaisa. The first five are each a major sugya in and of itself. So the first sugya is the first one on the list, is Chalav Shachav Avid Chavim Ve'in Yisrael Ro'ehu. Now it's interesting the way it even phrases the Yisr. The Yisr is milk that was milked by a non-Jew without a Jew seeing him. Meaning if a Jew sees him, it sounds like it's not just that a Jew seeing him is an exception to the Yisr, it's that the definition of the Yisr is a guy milking the cow without a Jew seeing him. It's not that a guy milking the cow is the Yisr, and then if a Jew happens to see it, so that's an exception to the Yisr. And we'll see what the nafka mina and the formulation might be. We'll get there eventually. But the first sugya we're going to have to do is Chalav Shalchav Ovid Kuchavim, is Chalav Akum. And obviously it's very nogei lemaisa, we all drink milk, and very often we like our milk not to be spoiled, so we buy the non-Chalav Yisrael kind. And if you buy the non-Chalav Yisrael kind, you have this issue. You have to know whether it's Chalav Akum, whether you have a problem of Chalav Akum or not. Rav Moshe, in his Tshuvas, where he's famously makel about Chalav, doesn't call it Chalav Akum, because if it's Chalav Akum, then it's Aser. There's no such thing as Chalav Akum that's kosher. He calls it Chalav HaKompanies. There's Chalav HaKompanies is really Chalav Yisrael. It's the equivalent of Chalav Yisrael. Why he holds that and how he gets there, again, is much, much later on. But that's the primary sugya. Now, as a point of clarification, the Gemara, when it talks about how to tell if the milk that you have in front of you is kosher milk or not kosher milk, the Gemara very clearly says that the one defining characteristic of kosher milk, other than its color, where kosher milk is white, milk that comes from a cow is white, milk that comes from a camel or a pig or a non-kosher animal is going to have, I don't think it means literally, it's not like slime, it's not yarok, but it means that it has like some sort of greenish tinge to it. It has some other color. It's a little more dull. It's not a bright white color. Other than that difference, the other major difference that the Gemara points out is that cow milk can be used to make cheese. You can't make cheese out of non-kosher milk. Now, because that's a point that the Gemara makes within the context of Chalav, it's easy to get confused and start thinking along the lines of Gvinas Akum. Gvinas Akum is a totally different sugya. Gvinas Akum is if you buy cheese from a non-Jew. Buying cheese from a non-Jew has a whole different set of problems. Meaning, you could know for sure that the non-Jew had access only to kosher milk, and the cheese that you buy from a non-Jew is still going to be a problem. That's a totally different issue, and the truth is, we're starting from the first thing mentioned in the Mishnah. Our next sugya probably has to be, you know, if this is item number one, we have to probably go to item number zero, which is really a discussion on Lamed Hey Amud Aleph about Gvinas Akum. It's just that I'm trying to go in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has it as Chalav Akum first, and then in the same simen talks about Gvinas Akum also. Gvinas Akum is a whole different sugya. When we talk about Gvina in our Gemara, we're talking about to be able to tell what the chalav is. Is the chalav kosher or not kosher? So the only way to tell is by, or one of the only ways to tell is by checking it out, see if it turns into cheese. Not because then turning it into cheese is going to be an issue of Gvinas Akum. Nothing to do with Gvinas Akum. It's just a way of being able to tell what the milk really is. Good. That is the basic structure of what we're facing now. So let's get started with some background information, some introductory remarks about chalav per se, about chalav in particular. The truth is, I told you to see the Gemara first, so let me summarize the Gemara for you, for those who could use a quick summary. The Gemara very clearly said that if you have milk in front of you that's unidentified and you have no idea where it came from, a guy tells you it came from a cow, but you have no idea whether that's true or not, the Gemara says that that's what our Mishnah was talking about is Aser. And the Gemara says, well, what are you concerned about? Are you concerned that maybe he switched it with non-kosher milk, with milk that came from a pig? The Gemara says, it's ridiculous. There's no way that he switched it with milk that came from a pig. Why not? The obvious reason is milk that comes from a pig doesn't look like milk that comes from a cow. Take one look at it and you'll realize right away the guy's not stupid enough to think that you're not gonna see right through that. He knows that if he gives you green milk, you're gonna realize that it's not cow milk. So what's the concern? The concern is some non-kosher milk might be mixed into your kosher milk. That the guy's gonna say to himself, I'm selling a Jew milk. Now it happens to be camel milk in, let's say, this social setting, wherever the guy is, wherever this story is taking place, camel milk is, let's say, a little cheaper or more accessible to the guy than kosher milk is. So if he could sell you kosher milk, which costs him a few extra pennies per gallon, and stick in some non-kosher milk, some camel milk, which is cheaper, so he'll try to stick in some non-kosher milk, hoping that you won't realize it, and that he'll get it right past you. Good, that's the concern of Chalav Akum, that it's not that you're going to be given pig milk, it's that you're going to be given cow milk with some pig milk mixed in. How much pig milk mixed in? What's the concern? So the Gemara doesn't quantify it, but just thinking rationally, thinking logically, definitely not rove, right? It can't be majority pig milk, because if it's majority pig milk, that's probably going to affect the whole appearance of the milk. So what are we worried about? Worried about a small minority of pig milk that's mixed into your kosher milk. So the issue that we're then going to have to deal with is, so what? I know that if I have a big pot of chicken soup and I drop a little tiny drop of milk into the big pot of chicken soup, I know that the chicken soup is perfectly kosher because there's something called bittel. Right? It's batel b'shishim. So what am I worried about? The chum tell me I'm not allowed to buy milk that the guy told me is cow milk. And it says it on the bottle, Tuscan, whatever, cow milk. I know that I'm not allowed to buy that because there might be what? A drop of pig milk in there? Isn't the pig milk going to be batel anyway? So we have to make an issur d'rabbanan lest you come to eat something that's kosher. So that seems a little bit strange. So what exactly are we really concerned about? So that's item number one that we have to think about. Before we get there, another word of introduction. Why is pig milk not kosher? Who said pig milk is not kosher? So the truth is, it's a major sugya at the beginning of Maseches Becharos. The Gemara goes back and forth trying to figure out the source for the idea that hayotze min ha-tameh is tameh. That's something that comes from, again, when we use tum and tara in kashrus, we use it in the sense that the Torah uses it about behemos. When it talks about a behemah tameh, it's not talking about a behemah that has tuma, right, that has what we would call tuma. It's talking about a non-kosher animal. Behemah tmeya is a pig, a camel, something like that. Behemah tahora means a cow, a sheep, a goat, something like that, a kosher animal. Right, so just be very clear about that. So the Gemara Maseches Becharos, after going through a whole discussion, however it arrives at the conclusion, learns out from Psukim that the rule is hayotze min ha-tameh tameh, hayotze min ha-tahor tahor. That anything that comes from a non-kosher animal is itself not kosher. Anything that comes from a kosher animal is itself kosher. So if you take milk from a cow, it's kosher. You take milk from a pig, it's not kosher. If a non-kosher bird lays an egg, that egg is not kosher. If a chicken lays an egg, the egg is kosher. Yeah. So honey is a kasha the Gemara itself asks. The Gemara itself in Maseches Becharos says, what about honey? Honey is, and it's a great kasha, right? Because honey comes from a bee is not kosher, right? And honey comes from the bee, so there's some type of answer, right? The Gemara assumes honey has to be kosher. Why does it have to be kosher? Because what does the Chumash tell us about honey? It's Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. That Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. So we're going to praise Eretz Yisrael about something that's not even kosher? Right, we say, oh, it's a great pork loins in Eretz Yisrael. Well, how's that going to help me? I'm not allowed to eat them when I'm there. So it must be that it's got to be kosher. Question is, why is it kosher? Good kasha. Maybe it could be because of the way it's produced, that the bee is sort of just like a shomer on the honey for a little bit. It's a sugya there, but the general rule is, and honey, you're right, is an exception. Yotzei min hatameh tameh, yotzei min hatar tar. Non-kosher stuff that comes from a non-kosher animal is not kosher. Stuff that comes from a kosher animal is kosher. Period. Right? That's generally the rule. That's why those of you who some guys were asking me about this before that you may have heard that Rav Shechter for a while, I think, still wouldn't drink milk of any kind. From any animal, it's because of the rule of Hayotzi Min HaTameh, because Hayotzi Min HaTameh is not only, it's a discussion, but it's not only from a Tameh Min, meaning from like a pig or a camel, but even from a kosher animal, a kosher Min, where the animal itself became a Trefa. In the Torah there is several types of Isurim in relation to animals. There's Behema Tameo, which is non-kosher, there's Nevela, right, which is not shechted properly, and there's trefa, which is an animal that's sick and therefore is not kosher to eat. So hilchos trefas are very complicated, very long and very complicated. In the beginning of Yoredeya, right after hilchos shechita, it used to be in order to get smicha, you had to learn hilchos trefas, because it used to be when you were rav in Europe and you know what were the most common shilas, and nowadays they tell you make sure you know hilchos avelus kol, because you have no time to prepare for it, and make sure you know hilchos nida kol. Because especially if you have a younger community, and you have to know basar v'chalav, truth is, it's good to know cold, but you know, most of the shilas are not even shilas. You know, most of the time, women are so good about setting up their kitchen in a way where things don't even come close. Usually, by the time it gets to a shilah, it's totally fine anyway. But it used to be when you were rav in Europe, you had to know hilchos trefus, because the number one shilah you got was a lady brought a chicken to you and said, is this chicken kosher? And you had to, I was talking to a Rav a while ago who told me that he was the first smicha class in YU that didn't have to learn hilchos trefus. And he went to some town in America, in the middle of America somewhere, and his first shaila he got, the local butcher came to him with the chicken. And he said, I need to think about it. And he excused himself. He called up his father, who was a Rav. He said, what the heck am I supposed to do? I have a chicken. I don't know what. You couldn't just like take a picture of it and send it over on your BlackBerry or whatever. So, but that hilchos trefus. So that's where Rav Shechter gets it. Because Rav Shechter not assumes, he did research, and it came to his attention that cows that are used for milking are typically trefos. They mutcha the cows, they do all sorts of things to the cows, they inject them, they do surgeries on them. Because cows that are used, you never ate a steak in your life that came from a cow that was used for milking. Right? The meat that you eat are raised from birth to be meat cows. They're raised to be to be slaughtered. The milk that you drink comes from cows that are raised to make milk. And that's it. So they do all sorts of things to the cow to make it be able to produce milk, and that turns it into a trefa. What's the problem if it turns the cow into a trefa? The milk that comes from it is then going to be not kosher milk. So that's the, in addition to the bittul issues and other things and taroves, which when you have thousands of cows that are being milked together and all the milk gets mixed in, so that's the, and the chazaka issues if you were to just have one cow, that's the basic idea of the problem that Rav Shechter has with milk. But okay, that's the number one rule. Kol yotze min asur is asur, kol yotze min ha-tahar is tahar. The Rambam passes this la-alacha and tells us that it is in fact an isur da-raisa. It's a Rambam hilchos machalos asurus per gimel alacha aleph. If you were to look weiter in hilchos machalos asurus per gimel alacha vav, the Rambam goes on to say that although it's asur mi-da-raisa to drink milk that came from a camel or a pig or anything else that's not kosher, you don't get malchus for that iser. The Rambam alludes to that already in the first line over here in Paragimel Lacha Aleph, where he tells us if you drink milk from any animal where if you were to eat the animal you'd get malchus minatorah, when you drink the milk it's aser minatorah. Notice the Rambam did not say when you drink the milk you get malchus minatorah. When you drink the milk, it's aser min haTorah. If you were to eat the camel, you get malchus min haTorah. If you drink the camel's milk, it's aser min haTorah. But it's no malchus. It's still nisur daraisa, no malchus. That's going to play a very critical role later on. Make sure you file that somewhere in your memory. That's the shitas. Oh, I did put halacha vav here. That's the shitas haRambam, right? Okay. So, if you get milk from a guy, our Mishnah very clearly assumes that the milk that you have is aser midrabanan. Why is it aser midrabanan? The chachamim were gozer that the chalav might have been mixed in with other kinds of milk. So we asked the kasha before, shouldn't it be batel? That was kasha number one. Kasha number two that one might ask is if it's not batel, if you're concerned that there's really a substantial amount of non-kosher milk, shouldn't that be aser mida oraisa? Why is it only aser mida rabbana? What does it mean? The Mishnah is coming up and telling us the chamim aser 10 things of related to machal yakum. One of them is milk that you get from a guy. Shouldn't milk that I get from a guy be aser mida oraisa? It might be pig milk. Shouldn't that itself create an issur d'oraisa? Oh, you don't know. Safek d'oraisa l'chumra? According to those who showed him that safek d'oraisa l'chumra is din d'oraisa? So shouldn't it be asumi d'oraisa? Why is it only asumi d'rabbanan? So to answer that question really frames the sugya for us, and that's machlokas, the shach versus, I would say, everybody else. Right? The shach on the one side, and others disagree with him. We'll, to make it simple, say machlokas shach and the chazanish. Why it is when you get milk from a non-Jew, why is it that it's only Yasa Midrabban and not an Issur D'oraisa? Any thoughts? And we get a chance to take a look. Right, so the simple answer is really the Chazanish's answer. Let's start with the Shach, though. Let's start with the less simple answer. So the Shach says as follows. It says, it's not Yasa Midrabban because the two questions answer each other. Right? We ask one question, aren't you putting in only a tiny percentage? The guy, when he gives you the milk, if anything, he's only putting in a tiny percentage of non-kosher milk. He's not putting in a rove of non-kosher milk. So he's putting in a minority of non-kosher. Most of the milk you have is kosher. So that itself explains why it's not an Issur D'oraisa. Because Mida Oraisa, if it's a majority kosher milk, the mixture of everything together would also be kosher. Mida Oraisa. Yeah.
You're assuming that the mixture that's being put in is less than a
shishim. One second. Okay.
Between
good. So that's why I was careful to say mita oraisa, it would be mutter. Midrabanan, it would still be us until you have shishim. But let's take a step back. I assume most of you have very little experience with bitul b'shishim, bitul barov, your day topics, min b'mino, min b'sheino mino. So let's give some just very basic background on taroves. This will not suffice to give you a thorough understanding of Taroves. You're not going to get smicha from the next 10 minutes, but let's just give a basic understanding of Taroves just to understand what the Shach is even talking about. There's a concept called bittul, where you can take something that's not kosher and make it kosher. We gave the example of milk falling into chicken soup. It didn't have to be milk. It could have been chazer schmaltz. Falls into chicken soup. Every example of something non-kosher a chef ever gives is always chazer schmaltz. So chazer schmaltz falls into, it's the only non-kosher food in the world as far as I know. Chazer schmaltz falls into chicken soup. It's a tiny drop of chazer schmaltz. It's a big vat of chicken soup. Obviously becomes batel. Why does it become batel? Because you could taste that chicken soup and you're never going to, and look at it and feel it and whatever. You're never going to be able to detect the chazer schmaltz. Why? Because you had this huge thing of chicken soup. It was a tiny bit of chazer schmaltz. It lost all of its qualities, all of its characteristics in the taroves. It very clearly became batel. However you define its characteristic, whether it's through taste, smell, whatever you want to define it, it's gone. And that's called bittel. That's the general concept of bittel. There are two types of bittel, though. There's bittel min b'mino and bittul min b'she'eno mino. Min b'mino means you take two like kinds. How you define like kinds is a major machlokes Rama and the Shach, but we'll get to that in a second. You take two like kinds. Let's say, just for argument's sake, chicken soup and chicken soup. You take chicken soup that's kosher and chicken soup that's made with a tray for chicken. Right? They're two like kinds. They taste exactly the same. They look exactly the same. They're called exactly the same thing. They feel exactly the same. No matter how you define what's called a like kind and what's not called a like kind, these are like kinds. Right? That's min b'mino. Min b'mino, the halacha is mida oraisa is batal barov. You don't need shishin. Min b'mino is going to be batal barov. Why is min b'mino batal barov? So the svara seems to be a very very simple svara. What's the magic of shishim? What makes shishim work? Why is it that when I have the milk falls into the chicken soup or the chazer schmaltz falls into the chicken soup, why is it shishim? What's the magic number about? Right, it makes it undetectable. It makes whatever got mixed into the mixture, the chicken soup so overwhelmed the chazer schmaltz that the chazer schmaltz is undetectable. Right, that's the idea of a bittel when you have min b'she'eno mino, because it makes it undetectable. When you have chicken soup falls into chicken soup, is the chicken soup undetectable? The whole thing is chicken soup. It enhances each other. It doesn't. It's not. They're not even working against each other. They're on the same team. So you're not going to take away. You're not losing whatever detectable quality of the chicken soup. So the whole idea of shishim doesn't really seem to make much sense when you're doing min b'mino. Mida oraisa, Min b'minos batal. I'll take questions in a second. Let me just get through some basic background. Midaraisa min b'mino is batal barov. There is a minority opinion. The way the Gemara says it is chad betray batal. That it's one in two is batal. So there is a minority opinion. The Gilui Marsha, Beis HaOtzer of Yosef Engel discusses, quotes a minority opinion that chad betray is dafka. That you need dafka, that ratio of a 2-to-1 ratio. That it's not just rov. But that's a very, very tiny minority opinion. The large majority assume min bimino 51% to 49%. 51% is kosher, 49% non-kosher. The whole taroves is kosher when it's min bimino. Min b'she'eno mino, two dissimilar foods, is batal b'shishim. You need dafka 60 times the volume in order to make it batal. Now, how do you define what's called like kind and what's called an unlike kind? This is also critical in order to understand this shach that we have in front of us. So this is machlokas Rama and the shach. The Rama in Simt Sadi Ches in Yardei Sif Beis. I didn't put it in the Mar Makomos, but the Rama in Simt Sadi Ches Sif Beis says that min b'mino is defined by what people call it. If it's called chicken soup, and the treif thing is called chicken soup, and the kosher thing is called chicken soup, that's min b'mino. Even though the treif chicken soup tastes nothing like the kosher chicken soup. The ingredients are totally different. For whatever reason, it tastes nothing like it. As long as people call it the same thing, that's the definition of min b'mino. The shach says, no. What's the whole idea of batal b'shishim? Like we said, it's undetectable. When we talk about something being undetectable, it doesn't have like a name tag on it that becomes undetectable when it gets mixed in, the taroves. Its taste becomes undetectable. That's the whole point. So the definition of min b'mino is based on how do we decide what are two like kinds, what are unlike kinds. So the Shach writes in Sivkat and Vav, in Simen Tzadiches, the same Simen, Sivkat and Vav, that it's defined by taste. It's not defined by anything else. And that's how Shishim works. It's a good kasha why you would need, what the Svara for Shishim is if you hold like the Ramah. Meaning, why would you say min b'she'eno mino needs shishim, min b'mino needs only rov, if it has nothing to do with taste anyway? And shishim is all about taste, it seems. Right? So that's a major kasha of the Acharonim deal with Rabbi Ganak in his Sefer. What's it called again? He has a few svarim. Anyone? Look at the YU section of the Svarim sale. No? Rabbi Ganak in his Sefer has a discussion about this. And he tries to tie it that they're arguing about what exactly the Vart of Shishim is. Is it really to rid you of the taste? Or is it like a super rove? It's something that's just an overwhelming rove. And therefore it's not about taste per se, it's just about creating this incredibly overwhelming rove that makes it lose its original shame. Its original shame of whatever it was, of trefa chicken soup or whatever. Questions there?
So I was thinking about, I know obviously I'm wrong because nobody else says this, but if we're saying that by min b'mino that it's batal b'rov, I would think that batal just shouldn't apply at all here because there's no ability to have any type of b'mino.
You shouldn't say nobody says this. That's a shita in Tanai, that min b'mino is ain't a batal, that it can never become batal. Because it's never batal, it's always enhanced by the time. We haven't been passing that way. But yeah, so good thinking, right? But we haven't been passing that it is batal. Yeah.
What's inherent about the Ramban Shita about what people call it? What do we care?
Right, so the Ramah seems to be assuming that the shame of something is what gives it its chashivus. And what bittul is it robs it of its own unique identity. And that's why when you talk about bittul, anything that can't be robbed of its identity is not going to be batal afil be'ela. Right? Let's say there's a whole list of things in Yerodea that can't become batal even in more than shishim. For instance, you have, well, davar shishim matirin is a major sugya. Davar shishim, something that will one day become mutter, can't become batal. That will take us a little too far afield. If you're really interested in davar shishim matirin, must see Ran in the Darim Daf Nun Beis, but Nun Beis Amal. But that's going to. But let's say, for instance, you have something that's a beria, right? The whole bug issue. Why is everyone so crazy about one of the letters that was recently written about the worms in the fish said if you crush the fish, it's okay. If you don't crush the fish, it's not okay. Why? What's the svar? Where did they get that from? Because if you crush the fish, they hold the worms are aser. If you crush the fish, you're crushing the worms also. And same amount of worms, but they're crushed. And once they're crushed, they can become batal. But if they're a beria shlema, if they're a full entity, they're a full, regular, squiggly worm, then they can't become batel because they're too chashuv to lose their identity, no matter how much they're mixed in with. Right? So the idea is that it's an inyan of chashivas. That bittel is about robbing something of its chashivas. How do we define something as being something chashuv? By name, by calling it by name. There's a lot of musr in that also, by the way, but we'll leave the musr out for now. But by when it has its own title, so that gives it chashivas, that grants it a sense of chashivas. That's the basic background to bittel. I should point out, I have to point out, that there are two types of tarovos in general also. There's what we call tarovos lach belach and tarovos yavesh biyavesh. For instance, I kept on giving examples to you of the chazer shmaltz falling into the chicken soup or the milk falling into the chicken soup and it all gets mixed together. What if I just have three hamburgers in front of me and one of them was bought at a Burger King and two were bought at Carlos and Gabby's, right? And they look exactly the same, let's say, the mashal. Right, or vice versa, right? So that's also rove. And that's also a concept of bittel b'rove. And that's also a major sugya in Yaradeya and a major sugya in Masechta Skulin. About, okay, so let's say, so that yavesh b'yavesh, you definitely don't need shishim. Why do you definitely not need shishim for yavesh b'yavesh? When it's dry things that aren't actually mixing together, it's just that you're confused. You don't know which one is which. What?
They're not mixed.
I mean, the tam isn't lost. The tam is there of the non-kosher hamburger. You just don't know which one is going to be the non-kosher hamburger, right? So it's certainly not, has nothing to do with, right? So definitely not a shishim issue. Yavesh b'yavesh, obviously is batel b'rov. Question is, can you eat all three? Okay, so that's a major discussion in the Rishonim. They're like four deos in the Rush, exactly what to do, the Rush and the Ran in Maseches Chulin. Are you allowed to eat all three? Can the same person eat all three? One sitting, two sittings? Do you have to give it to someone else? Do you have to throw one random one away just to make sure no one ate it? A major discussion. But that's Yavish B'Yavish. That's a totally different issue of Bittel. Now, on a Daraisa level, when do you need Shishim? You need Shishim when you have Min B'She'eno Mino and it's Lach B'Lach. If it's min b'she'eno mino and lach belach meaning that it all gets mixed in together, and it's two unlike kinds, that's when you need shishim mida oraisa. Midrabanan, this is important, midrabanan, if it's either lach belach or min b'she'eno mino, you need shishim. Which means, midrabanan, if you were to take chicken soup and chicken soup, treif chicken soup and kosher chicken soup, midrabanan, you still need shishim. Midoraisa, you'd only need rov, midrabanan, you need shishim. Now let's bring it back to us. We're dealing with milk. The milkman came, there used to be such a thing called the milkman, I'm told, and he would come and he would deliver milk, and he would tell you that the milk came from a cow. And you're looking at the milk and it looks like it came from a cow. What might have happened to that milk? Is that pig milk might have been mixed in. How much pig milk might have been mixed in? Definitely not rove. What's the maximum amount of pig milk? I don't know, 20% is the maximum amount? So probably somewhere more than shishim, less than rove. What kind of isser are you dealing with then? If it's milk and milk, pig milk and cow milk, you definitely have rove kosher. And you probably have, and you're concerned you might have more than shishim of non-kosher, more than 1/60th non-kosher. What kind of issue are you dealing with?
Well, it depends on how you define minbamino.
Ah, so if you define minbamino, so say that.
So, I mean, I never taste pig milk, but it could be, I guess it's obviously going to be different between the Ramah and the
Is non-kosher. It obvious? I don't know. Play it out, does it?
I mean, I was thinking that it probably has a different taste. I mean, I think...
It does have a different taste, I'm told. I mean, I haven't tried it either. It does have a different taste, yes.
Everyone would still call it milk, though.
Okay.
So, according to the Ramah, it seems shame, but according to the...
Very good, right? It would seem, according to the Ramah, that when we go bust of the shame, so it's milk. Milk is milk, right? And therefore, we min b'mino. So, one second, so where does that leave us? So, if it's min b'mino, what do you need to be mevatel if it's min b'mino? On a Darais level, you only need Rov. Midrabanan, though, you need Shishim. So what do you have in front of you if, in fact, the milkman delivered milk that had some pig milk mixed in? What do you have? An Isser what? Midrabanan. Right? If you say like the Shach, though, You say like the shach that min bimino is defined as, is defined by taste. It's not defined by shame. And pig milk tastes nothing like cow milk. So what do you have? A tarovas of min b'she'eno mino. Min b'she'eno mino mida oraisa requires what? It's two unlike kinds. Mida oraisa? Shishim. And you think you might not have shishim, so what might you have in front of you? An iser d'oraisa. So it should play out that the Ramah will say, when you have your chalav akum, at worst, what you have in front of you is an iser d'rabbanan. And the shach should say, when you have your chalav akum, at worst, what you have in front of you is, no, it's really an iser d'oraisa, it's really bad. Right? That's what it, that's what should happen.
Why can't we say that the Ramah would say that it's even b'she'en, you know, when you have stam milk, we assume is cow milk, if somebody's going to give you pig milk, they're not going to say they're giving you milk, they're going to say they're giving you pig milk. So the shame is different.
Okay, you want to argue the shame is different. Okay, but so let's focus on the shach then. Because the Ramah we're not going to really be able to deal with anyway. But let's focus on the shach. The shach for sure, there's no argument. We're all in agreement here. That the, and if you argue, let me know now. You can't call it later. Right? The shach for sure says that the min bimino versus shein omino is defined by tam. Pig milk and cow milk do not taste the same. One would think, the metzias is, pig milk and cow milk, one would think, do not taste the same. Memela, pig milk and cow milk is min, b'she'eno mino, and it should therefore be, batel b'shishim mida oraisa, you should need shishim. Rov doesn't help you, even mida oraisa. And if you are genuinely worried that the milkman delivered you milk that has some traces that are more than shishim of pig milk, you have a genuine iser da oraisa on your hands. That's what the shach should say. All right.
But when the shach's talking about taste, meaning that granted that pig milk and cow milk taste different when they're separate, but when they're together, it could be that the pig milk won't change the cow milk's taste that much, and maybe when he says that taste...
I think when we define tam, it's always as independent entities, because we're trying to figure out whether that tam is batel, meaning whether it's going to lose that characteristic that it used to have as an independent entity. So I think we're gonna look at it how it was separately.
Do we say lach b'lach? You only need is like a rov. You mean for lach b'lach?
No, for yavish b'yavish, all you need is a rov. When it's lach b'lach, if it's min b'she'eno mino, you need shishim. If it's lach b'lach min b'mino midoraisa, you need rov. Midrabanan, you need shishim. It's a lot of rules, but you know, write them down somewhere. So right, yeah, Jake. I think you're handled.
When you say min bimino and not bimino, are we talking about like where we know that something has already been, like our case is that we're saying, oh, maybe they mix it. So that itself, it like starts the suffix in itself. But like maybe when the shach was saying that, oh, I guess when everyone else says that min bimino and min bimino, not min bimino, requires batel b'shishim, maybe that's only when you know that something, when two things have already been combined. But here, we don't even know if they were combined to begin with. This is a chashash.
Right. All I'm saying is that what's the worst case scenario in the shach's point of view? When you get your milk delivered. You're right. I don't know that there's any problem. Best case scenario is it's all cow milk. Worst case scenario, though, according to the shach, should be that you have an iser d'oraisa on your hands. That's the worst case scenario.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what the shach should say. Now, the shach, yeah?
Just to explain the Ramah Shita, what does that mean that the name hasn't changed? That you wouldn't call this new pot with both of them in it? That you wouldn't call
it? Oh, so with the name, it's not about changing, it's about what it was independently. If this was milk and this was milk, then that's the same name.
If this was one of them is cow milk or one of them is cow milk.
Ah, so, okay. Whether Shem Levi, meaning when you have a secondary name, how you define name is also very important. So you had a very interesting discussion. Not our discussion for now, but you're right. That it's very tricky to define, you know, what you call a name. Cereal. Well, cereal is called cereal. No two look alike, except for the rip-off brands, right? So it's very difficult to define that. Yeah.
And I guess also with taste, define how broadly you define, you know, like cow milk.
Taste is also something that's not easily...
I'm saying it could also be that
it's not easily quantified.
And cow milk and pig milk would be the same thing.
It'd be similar enough. Ah, okay. So
it's
you're...
Not orange juice.
So you're challenging and saying, no, who says that cow milk and pig milk is min b'sheino mino, even according to the Shach? Maybe it tastes a little different, but not different enough for it to be called min b'sheino mino. Possibly. Okay, let's take a look now. The Shach in Siman Kuf Yud Ches in Yoredeya. Now, Siman Kuf Yud Ches is about when you get a delivery of food. If you ever notice, if a non-Jew is delivering your food to you, there's and you ordered it from a kosher store, there's always some sort of tape or, you know, bulletproof system to be able to get into your sandwich or whatever. When you get something, you know, on the plane food is like double wrapped or whatever, unless the stewardess tried to be nice and open it for you and thereby make you not allowed to eat your meal. What's the svara? What's the idea? The idea is that when you get something delivered by a non-Jew and you don't have a tefiyah sayin on it, it's not something you've ever seen before, so you don't know exactly what to expect. Right, so it needs to come with a seal on it so that you know that the Jew put a seal on it, and since it left the store, it's had that seal, so it hasn't been switched. Right, that's the halacha. There are a lot of details of that halacha. There's this excellent sefer. It's probably not so, I don't know how available it is, in terms of the Chelkas Binyamin. This is it's a Mishnah Berurah type of sefer on Machalei Akum, on Simanim Kuf Yud Gimel through Kuf Chaf Aleph. Just Machalei Akum, all the halachas of Machalei Akum. So it's with the whole Bir Halacha. He was the son of the Badei HaShulchan. I don't know if you've ever learned Badei HaShulchan. If you ever learned Hilchas Nida, Hilchas Pas B'Cholav, Taroves, the Badei HaShulchan is like the Mishnah Berurah on that. Badei HaShulchan had some competition originally. Someone else wrote a similar sefer to his, but the other guy called his sefer Mishnah Berurah because he figured, if it's just like the Mishnah Berurah, might as well call it Mishnah Berurah. So he was immediately put into Chayim, no one bought a Sefer. Badei HaShulchan made a killing, and he got something for his son to do. He left some for his son. So his son did the Chelkas Binyamin, which is a fantastic Sefer. He discusses at length, this is like his known area of expertise. When I was at the OU for a couple of weeks, they brought him in to discuss how to make sure that stores have the proper seals on all the different things. But the basic rule is, in Siman Kuf Yud Ches, in Yoredeya, is that when the item being delivered might be asur mida oraisa, you need two chasamos, you need two seals on it. When the item that's being delivered, at worst, is only going to be nisid rabbanan, you only need one seal on it. That's his rule. That's the Shulchan Aruch's rule, right? Now, how many seals do you need the milkman to have when he delivers your milk? Right, let's assume you had a Jew milk the cow, packed it up for you, sent it with the non-Jewish milkman to deliver to you, non-Jewish delivery man. How many seals do you need? Now, it looks white. You can see what the milk is, right? It's very evidently white. So what do you have in front of you? Do you have a chashash d'oraisa or a chashash d'rabbanan? So according to what we're saying, the shach should hold, according to what everyone except for Sam is saying, right? The shach should hold that since the tam is not the same, you need shishim for it to be batel. On a d'oraisa level, you don't have shishim. You're worried that you don't have shishim, and therefore you have what in front of you? Chashash iser d'oraisa. If you have chashash iser d'oraisa, you need two chasamos. That's what it should say according to the Shach. Problem is, Shulchan Aruch paskens, you only need chasam echad for milk. So frek the Shach, Yoredeya Kuf Yud Ches, bonus shalom, what's going on over here? Why do you only need one chasam for milk? Isn't it a chashash d'oraisa? So he says, no, it's not a chashash d'oraisa. You know why? Because the two types of milk are min b'mino. They're min b'mino. Pig milk and cow milk is min b'mino. So Shach agrees with Sam. And since it's min b'mino, midah oraisa, all you really need to be mvatel it is rove. You definitely have rove because the milk's not green. So you know it's a rove. Mela, at worst, you have nisa d'rabbanan in front of you because you don't have shishim. So for nisid rabbanan, you only need one chosim, you only need one seal. That's how the Shach says. Now, that explains why the Isser in our Mishnah is only in Isser d'rabbanan, not in Isser d'oraisa. Right? Our Mishnah is saying, oh, the Chachamim came up with this idea, you can't get milk from a non-Jew. Hello, I can't get milk from a non-Jew because a non-Jew is going to be giving me pig milk. That's in Isser d'oraisa. No, but the Shach will say, Chacham, look at the milk. If it's white, it's not pig milk. At most, it's some percentage of pig milk, but that itself is only an Isser d'rabbanan. Frankly, yeah.
Well, we so quickly assume that just because it's white means that it's not pig milk. If it just
because that's the Matthias.
If it was slime, that's one thing. If it's a white with a greenish tinge, it's
That would give you some pause, hopefully, and you would say, wait a second, why is this a greenish tinge?
Maybe pouring a little bit inside of white inside would make it so much so that it looks whiter.
How much? How much?
Could be less than rome already.
Probably the assumption is that it's not so.
Ask me more than that.
Assumption is that if you have a majority pig milk in front of you, you'll be able to detect just by looking at it.
That, 39% white or something.
Yeah, probably still. You'll be able to detect just by looking at it that that's not normal milk, that it looks different. Yeah.
Technically, you'd also be able to take out a little and see if it turns into cheese, huh?
The Gemara says that doesn't work because it's not an accurate test always, because there might be some non... Even if it does turn into cheese, there still might be non-kosher milk mixed in there that gets caught in between the holes of the cheese that you're not able to get. So that as and also practically it's not the most right.
According to the one, I think there's just companies that are not the two shemos.
Yeah.
So how would he read into the Gemara? Because then it's a deraisa. If there are two different shemos, then now the cheshash is deraisa.
Good. So what's your kasha? So why is the iser in our Mishnah only in Issa Rabbanan? Good. So that's when we need another answer. But this is the Shach's answer. We'll get to that.
Does the factor of taste tie into what we're saying now? But how the Shach says not a chashash to rice?
Because, we'll get to, okay, good. We'll get to that in a second. Now the Shach says pig milk and cow milk are min bimino, and that's why really it's batul barov midaraisa. But we said, according to the Shach, what should he have said? He should have said, no, they don't taste alike, and therefore they are min b'shein omino. How can you, the Shach, say that pig milk and cow milk is min b'mino, and therefore it's really batul barov midaraisa? We know the Shach is the guy that holds that everything goes basar taste. You follow taste, you don't follow anything else. And the tastes are different. So Sam said, well, maybe the tastes are similar enough. I don't know, I have no idea what it tastes like. But the Achronim were very bothered by the Shach. They said, L'shitaso, the Shach should have realized, he himself holds that if two things taste differently, it's min b'shein amino. How can you call this min b'mino? That's the kash of the Achronim. If you take a look, Rabbi Kiva Eger in his Chidushim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, source number 5, asks two kashas, the second of which is this kasha, two lines from the bottom. Gam ha-maskanas ha-shach le'el, de'inyan bitul barov, de'talya b'tayma. Bitul barov is tali on taste. So when you have two kinds of milk mixed together, it's eino mino. Because they don't taste at all the same. That's the kasha of Rikiveger, Pischichuva. It's the kasha that everyone asks. Good, that's the kasha on the Shach. I want to make sure I get to the Chazanish, so maybe we'll revisit how to answer those kashas in a second. What's the other possibility? So Yehuda asked before that, got to get the AC working in here. The Yehuda asked before that that when it comes to anyone who disagrees with the Shach, let's say the Rama, who says that it goes after shame, that you look at shame. So when you have this mixture of milk and milk, of pig milk and cow milk, you should have on your hands an Issa d'oraisa. Right? Why is it not an Issa d'oraisa? So the truth is, it's not really a kasha in terms of that, because as we said, if you're going to define it as min b'mino, so by definition, if it's all called milk and that's min b'mino, so then you're only going to have an issa d'rabbanan anyway. But just in terms of answering the basic question of why in our Mishnah is it, did the rabbis have to come along and tell me that I'm not allowed to have milk that I got from a guy? Isn't it a typical safek d'oraisa l'chumra? So we saw the Shach's answer. The Shach says, no, it's only at most a Savik Rabbanan, because it's really min b'mino. Is there, the Chaznish says, forget about that. I'll tell you why it's only an Issid Rabbanan. When a guy gives you milk and tells you it's cow milk, what are the chances that it's not cow milk? He just says, very pasha. What are the chances that it's not cow milk? What would you put the numbers at? You go to the store and you buy a bottle of milk. What are the chances? What?
Very low.
Very low. 1%, less than 1%, something very small. In general, how much of a minority do we have to be concerned about? So the rule in halacha in general is... The rule in general in halacha is miyut she'enu matzoi versus miyut ha-matzoi. If it's a very common miyut, then we need to be worried about it. If it's a very uncommon miyut, you don't need to be worried about it. How do you define uncommon? Rav Shach always likes to quote the Gedder of the Mishkanos Yaakov. The Mishkanos Yaakov says 10%. Anything less than 10%, you don't even have to think about the miyut. So for instance, if you buy your suits, let's give this example, you buy your suits at the Sims Bash every year, and you know that at the Sims Bash, the suits cost, whatever, $149, there's not a chance in the world, I mean, very, very minuscule chance that you actually have a suit that has real linen mixed in with the wool for $149. Is there a chance? Yeah, 1 out of 1,000 might happen. La halacha, you don't need to get such a suit shotness checked. And someone called me with a shayla. I bought a suit, but it was a $900 suit originally, and it was marked down at the Sims Bash to $149. Yeah, okay. $149 suit, right? It's not a $900 suit. If you buy it at the Barney sale or whatever, so then it's, you know, the rubam are shotness. In general, that's the getter, 10%. Less than 10%, you don't have to worry. But that's what they're working on with the fish and the worms now also. Even if you hold the worms in the flesh of the fish are a problem, they're not even sure if it's a mira matzui. They're not even sure if it's enough to be concerned about. The kashrus agencies are still working on crunching the numbers on that. So, says the Chazon Ish, very pasha. I get milk from my Gaish milkman. So what's our big kasha? Shouldn't it be asa midar raisa? Because after all, there could be treif milk mix in there. Treif milk is asa midar raisa. Says Chazon Ish, what are the chances? Chances are minuscule. On a daraisa level, you have no requirement to be worried about such a far-fetched possibility. Chances are minuscule. Midrabanan, our Mishnah tells us, the Rabbanan make you worry about it. The Rabbanan made a gezeira that you have to worry even about such a tiny chance. That's it. Yeah.
We can say that about so many other things. We can say that about, let's say, Yai Nesa. We should say that about this whole thing about the double wrapping. How often is it going to be that somebody is going to put another piece of, you know, pork?
You're right. And that's why only when there are abundant metakanos and gzeros do we have to follow it. Otherwise, we don't have to. Right? That's why we have rules. Because the Rabbanan couldn't make takanos and gzeros on everything. So they chose the things that they were most concerned about. And everything else, we have rules about percentages. Mina matzui, micheina matzui. But absolutely, you're right. We do apply it to everything. With the worms in the fish, the bugs in the lettuce, the shotness in the suits, everything. There are lots of examples of where we apply that concept. Treifas. The Mishnas Yaakov is in Hilchos Treifas. In the beginning of Yerodea, in the Tshuvas of the Mishnas Yaakov, he talks about when we shech the cow, what do we check for? After we shech the cow, we look at the lungs to make sure the lungs don't have any holes in it. You know how many different treifos there are? You know how many different diseases the cow might have had that has nothing to do with the lungs whatsoever? The cow might have had a disease in its liver, its spleen, its whatever, that had nothing to do with the lungs, and that also would make it a treifa, but we don't even bother looking. Why do we not bother looking? Because it's mitzvah no matzui. Yeah, there are cows that are diseased in their livers or whatever, but it's in the brains, it's a mitzvah no matzui, so we don't even bother checking. The lungs are already a mitzvah matzui. That's something that's very common. So that's something that we check. But you're right, we apply it indiscriminately throughout all of halacha. That's absolutely true. L'maynaf kamina between the Chazon Ish and the Shach. Right? So the Shach says that you don't have to, that the reason our mission is not dealing with the din d'oraisa is because if it were off color, if the milk was off color, you'd notice it. So obviously it's a majority kosher milk, and it's min b'mino, it's batel b'rov mid'oraisa, so you only have a nisa d'rabanan. Right? That's the Shach. And that's, because it's only nisa d'rabanan, how many seals do you need? Only one. Right? The Chazon Ish says, no, it's a nisa d'rabanan because you just don't have to be worried about the whole thing. The whole chashash is so far-fetched. Nothing about bittul and min b'mino, min b'she. It's just chances that he put anything in there are very slim. Midar rice, you wouldn't have to worry about it. Midar abanan, you have to worry about it. So that's why it's nisar abanan, you only need one seal. L'may nafkamina, whether you hold like the shach, whether you hold like the ramah. That's a case that's nafkamina.
If they hold the shach, it's more of an inherent psul as opposed to the Chazon Ish, which is more, you know, no chashash anymore. But if it's a chashash, then if it becomes more of a majority, that a more common occurrence to mix the milks.
Okay, let's say the metzius changes,
yeah.
Right? That people, you're in a community or whatever, in a country, where milks are mixed all the time, and it's, you know, it's common standard cheating in business that everyone does, let's say. Okay, that might be enough kamina. That might be enough kamina, because according to the shach, as long as you can look at it and it looks white, you know you're only dealing with the drabanan, right? Whereas according to the Chazon Ish, maybe not. Maybe you are dealing. Maybe it's min v'sheinu mino. You're dealing with a doraisa in that case, where it's more than a 10%. When it's a mira matzui, good. That could be not enough mina. You gonna say the same one? Yeah.
I don't know if they like put sugar in pig milk or something. That you like there's a big noticeable difference between the two milks.
chocolate. If it's more noticeable.
If the taste is so noticeable that it really would be not min domino.
That would automatically turn into min b'she'en omino, and therefore you need shisha midaraisa. Meaning that you're saying that you could come up with a hechitimtzum where the shach would acknowledge and it becomes min b'she'en omino. It's a major question in your day whether you can do, meaning adding ingredients. Okay, meaning do you look at the milk as the non-kosher ingredient and say the non-kosher ingredient is still min b'mino, or do you look at the altar of, right? But let's say you get a chocolate bar delivered. You get a chocolate bar delivered to your house. It's milk chocolate. It doesn't say what, you know, they tell you that it's cow milk chocolate. Now, the chocolate bar is brown. It's not green and it's not white. No? So how would you say?
According to its chocolate taste, it would obviously know.
According, well, one so second. But we'll get to tasting. But without tasting, right? You don't want to take the chance. You always find somebody. Come to the high school. You'll find somebody who will take the risk. But so according to the Shach, it's Vayter Daraisa now. Why is it a Daraisa according to the Shach?
You can't tell.
Because you can't tell. I mean, the Shach's whole, the foundation of the Shach was, take one look at it and you know that you're dealing with a miut of non-kosher milk, that the majority is kosher. Take one look at the chocolate bar, you have no idea what the majority is. The majority can still be non-kosher milk. And if it's a majority non-kosher, then you have a nisa daraisa on your hands. According to the Chazanish, it's a very tiny minority concern, and it's still going to be only mitrabana that you have to be concerned with it. It's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina, it's the same nafkamina really, is do you have to look? You get something delivered with chosumecha, the guy says it's milk, it's dark, and it's the middle of the night, you just want a drink of milk. So you take your milk. Do you have to look at it first? Do you need to inspect it? No? So how does it play out? According to the Shach, yes or no? According to the Shach, absolutely you need to inspect it, right? Because if it, the foundation of his kula is that you looked at it and you saw that it's white. If you didn't look at it, then it might be green, and then you're going to have a problem. Midoraisa. According to the Chazanish, no need to look at it. What are the chances anyway? Now, you could argue that that's not really enough, Gamina. Because you could argue that what kind of moron guy is going to send you something, tell you it's cow milk, and have it look green? Meaning, he doesn't know whether you're going to look at it or not. He wouldn't send you something that he knows that if you just took one little look at it, you would be able to tell that he cheated you. Right? So you could argue that even according to the Shach, you don't actually have to look at it. Because just the knowledge that you can look at it is enough. It could make such a time. Yeah.
Also, that if you look at it, it could turn green because it's spoiled also. So it wouldn't necessarily be green because...
Oh, so you're saying the other way. That by looking at it, you can't... Well, but then the smell would give it away. Meaning, if it's spoiled...
It would be kosher, though. If it's spoiled, I'm saying you wouldn't have to look according to the Shach. The fact that it's green, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean
no, but the Shach holds the fact that it's green does mean something. The Shach's whole basis is, look at it, if it's green, you have a problem. So it's got to be white. The premise of his whole discussion is, you looked at it and it's white.
Why does it have to be white?
Because if it were green, you wouldn't take it.
Because it's not kosher.
Right. You would at least suspect that it's not kosher. So you're right, there might be other, you might have dropped green food coloring in it also. There could be lots of reasons that it's green, but at least that raises the suspicion level of why it's not kosher.
Becomes accepted.
Yeah.
According to Chazonish, let's say you see it's green, would you be able to drink it still? If it's a miut, and you see that there is green...
No, because then there's a major reis on your robe, right? Meaning the fact that it's green is like a...
But it's still a miut. You're saying his whole shot is that it's a miut, therefore it's totally mutter when you look. So if you do...
Let's say I buy a suit at Sims, and I happen to know what a linen thread looks like, and I see a linen thread sticking out of my suit. Of course I need to get the shot in this room. Right, meaning when there's when there's a red flag, you know, you gotta. So right, that's a major race.
From the Yavesh and Yavesh, meaning you never show one of them is treif. Meaning, so here too, you know what? I mean, you still.
That's about Tarova. That's special din in Tarovas, right?
He's the whole Torah saying the whole reason why being claimed Kalmuk is okay because it's a miut. So since it's a miut, now that you have it, who cares? Because there's a miut, therefore it's totally. Okay,
no, but we're saying you don't have a miut anymore. The miut of the majority of green milk is non-kosher. You have a new equation, right? The majority of green milk is non-kosher. Okay, So that's the basic enough community between the Shach and the Chaznish. We have like 2 minutes left, so I just want to just basically very quickly touch on the problems of the Achronim with the Shach, that they all ask on the Shach, what are you talking about that you call this? You are the famous sheet of the Shach that calls things based on their tam. So there's no two things that are so clearly min b'shein omino as pig milk and cow milk. How can you just say it's min b'mino and therefore it's only d'rabbanan? It's very evidently, very obviously min b'shein omino. That's the kasha that they all ask on the Shach. So Nadbi Huda has an unbelievable answer based on what we started shir with. Where we start, we pointed out the Rambam, that the Rambam holds, based on the Gemara Becharos, Hayotze min atame tame. Something that comes from a non-kosher animal is itself not kosher. But there's no malchus for it. Right? The idea of something becoming batel, and or something not becoming batel, of something usser mixed in with something mutter, and making the whole tarovis usser, if you have enough chicken soup to give tam into enough chazer shmaltz, give tam into the chicken soup. That whole idea is a concept called tam ki'ipit. That when I can taste the chazer shmaltz in the chicken soup, it's ki'ilu I'm eating chazer shmaltz. Tam, the taste, is ki'ikr. It's like the item itself. Tam ki'ikr. Where do we learn tam ki'ikr from? So there's a discussion in the Gemara where we learn tam ki'ikr from. Two possibilities. Gemara Pesach Mem Dalet, if you want to look it up. One possibility is it's from Giulei of the Kachavim, from the very need to do Hagalas Kelim. What do we do Hagalas Kelim for? When you buy a used kli from a non-Jew, what's the Hagala for? To purge it of any tam that might be in it, right? What do you have to purge it of any tam that might be in it? Elamai, what do you see? Tam ke'ikr. You see that the tam of non-kosher is the same as non-kosher itself. It says in the Yehuda, phenomenal Kiddush. What were we concerned about when we purchased, when we got kelim in war from Midian, from the non-Jews? What was in those kelim? What tam was in those kelim? Tam of chazer, of nevela, of all sorts of isurim for which you get malchus. This whole chiddush of tam kikr, which is a phenomenal chiddush, that there is such a din, that the taste is as bad as the item itself, is only true when the actual starting iser is something you get malchus for. If the Isser itself that you start with is an Isser that you don't even get Malkus for, the Torah was never Mechadesh Tam Ki'ikr. The Yehuda argues. And therefore, milk that came from a pig, do you get Malkus for? No. And the Rambam Paskins, no. And therefore, there's no concept of Tam Ki'ikr. If there's no concept of Tam Ki'ikr, it means that even if it is min b'she'en omino, it's going to be batel berov anyway. You don't need shishim on min b'she'en omino. It's going to be batel berov anyway. Because there's no, the whole idea of shishim is tam ki'ikr. There is no din of tam ki'ikr. It's going to be batel berov even if it is min b'she'en omino. So the Nodavida is not really defending the Shach because the Shach calls it min b'mino. So the Nodavida says, no, it's min b'she'en omino, but still it's only in Issa d'Rabbanan. That's another beautiful. We'll discuss it again tomorrow. I want to start with that tomorrow because there are a couple of more ha'aras on that particular topic. And then we'll get to the Gemara eventually.